a character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Audio. This is Kevin. On the other end is Mr. Dan Keister. How you doing, Dan?
Doing great, Kevin. Hoping the Cardinals can win tomorrow night and not put me in too much nervousness, and that my Missouri Tigers can get 7-0 Saturday. A lot going on in athletics that I'm excited about.
Yeah. Now, are you attending the Missouri game there? Is that what I've caught?
Yes, sir. I will be there at 11:21 Central Time on Saturday when we take on the Florida Gators, who snuck by us last year. So I'm ready to go. I know some people that are going to the Mizzou game and then back to St. Louis are going to the Cardinal game tomorrow night, the Mizzou game Saturday, and hopefully not a Cardinal game Saturday night. But I know people that are planning on doing that. So that's I'm not quite that adventuresome, nor do I have tickets for the Cardinals. So I'm going to go. Go watch MU Saturday. I'm excited about it.
Yep. Well, with you on the end of the line, that, as always, means one thing, at least when you're teamed with me. We're talking prime wrestling.
Absolutely.
And this was supposed to be part of the Stunt Granny interview series, but isn't anymore. Due to, unfortunately, some last-minute scheduling conflicts. So Dan and I are just going to run through the card real quick. It's kind of easy to say, because they haven't aired any of the last four episodes, because they have four written-up episodes on their website, and the only preview was the one that I posted earlier today of any of these matches, we should be able to knock this out fairly quickly.
Yeah, and that was a damn good interview, but the television content has been lacking a little bit. I like to tell people that there are two pay-per-views Sunday, one with a company that we wish we could see more of, and one with a company that maybe we see a little bit too much of, at least see too much of the owner getting her moment on television in order to keep the money flowing, I guess.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I didn't even realize that that pay-per-view is this weekend, because I'm like, hold on, the WWE's pay-per-view isn't until next weekend. Does TNA actually have one?
They have their big pay-per-view on Sunday, but we will not preview that other than I will say the two guys in the main event are intriguing and worth watching, and there's just so much bad and I love the things that the Ego team are doing. I mean, there's some good stuff there, but there's also just some brutal stuff, which makes it difficult for me to justify spending my money on their product.
Yeah, no, because I think Dusty and I talked about that, or at least, well, no, I think in my last two shows I've talked alternately with Jeremy about everything that's terrible, and then I think the next show I talked about everything that was good with Dusty, which was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Well, good for Dusty. It's good to have a positive. There is some positive there. So, but, yeah, I won't expect any more discussion on TNA because enough's enough.
Well, we have three of our favorites teaming together. Ben Boone, who we've interviewed, Nate Mattson, who I think I just did by myself. And then Bobby Shields, who is a bit of a friend to the site from time to time, are teaming against the young guys here, Jay Flash and Aiden Vale. And their third wheel is another show favorite, Brian Castle.
Absolutely. You know, not to pick on anybody, but I'd say that there's still potential for a couple of these guys on the Sons, Bobby Shields and Ben Boone. You may see them on a larger scale someday. Nate Mattson's a bit of a veteran, is the only reason I don't include him in the package, and maybe a little smaller than what some of the bigger companies are looking for. But all three of those guys are extremely talented. They've had a nice story there with Jay Flash finally upsetting Ben Boone in his open challenge. And then Brian Castle is a guy that if they ever wanted to go back to the kind of old Norman-type character, funny guy that entertains the kids, you know, he's got that down pat. He's got great comedic timing. Yeah. And so there's, you know, there's some talent there in the match, and I would favor the bad guys there, the Sons of Michigan and Bobby Shields. I think they could use a win, and I, you know, I suspect they'll get it. I enjoy all those guys quite a bit.
Yeah, no, it should be a pretty solid match. I haven't seen that much of Aiden Vale in the ring, but the couple of matches I've seen, he looks pretty decent for being as young as he is. And same thing for Jay Flash, really. They're both like 19, 20 years old, kind of young. So,
yeah, athletic guys. The whole drummer thing drives me nuts, so I just have flashbacks to JT Southern or Van Hammer or something, so I have a hard time getting excited about Aiden Vale.
Yeah, no, the character could use a massive change. But, you know, what are you going to do, I guess? Because in some ways, Castle kind of needs that, at least a little bit of a tweaking, like you suggested. And I think that helped his character out immensely.
Yeah, I think that there might be some potential for development there. He's kind of had the same character for some time. And, you know, there's a backstory there. He was picked on by the Sons of Michigan for a while. And, yeah, like I said, should be entertaining. I mean, the younger guys are pretty good athletes, I think. And you certainly got in your heel team there some strong wrestlers. So I don't know if that'll be the opening match or not. I suspect it might be, and if so, it'll be a good start to the card, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree with both assessments there, because it should be a good match. It should be the opener, and it's the third agreement. I definitely think the heels definitely are the bigger name, and I just think they'd look kind of weak losing to one of these guys who still really needs to get a little more experience under their belt before moving on up.
Completely agree.
And really, there is the next match up is really hard to say a whole lot of anything about. It's old school muscle Nikki Valentino against an unnamed opponent who will be valeted by one Chris Van Vliet, who is like evidently, wasn't he like one of the hottest anchors by USA Today or some crazy?
Yeah, you live there, so you would know, but he's some sort of local bachelor celebrity. Good for him.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because you weren't at that Resolution. That was last year when I went with my girlfriend. When he was there, that's right.
Well, he was there, I think, 2 years ago, though, when I was there. He did some ring announcing, I believe, 2 years ago. I mean, he's not bad, you know. I mean, in the times he's been involved in the show, he's not LaBar. I mean, he's, you know, he plays his role pretty well. So there's
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's definitely used to camera. Yeah, they're based out of Cleveland, so I'm pretty sure it's a Cleveland news station that he works for. Him and Valentino go back to at least last year where Van Vliet was just the announcer for the match at Resolution, but the insults by Valentino kind of got him into the match, if memory serves. And it's kind of what led to this match, really. Because Van Vliet's been on TV once or, well, at least a couple of times this truncated season, let's say. You know, you have no idea how the match is going to go because you don't know who the opponent's going to be.
Yeah, I think we've probably said about enough about this one other than Nikki Valentino continues to be entertaining in his interview segments trying to become a megalomaniac. And if you want to hear more about that, I would go back and listen to our interview with Ricky Shane Page and Aaron McGuire, where Mr. McGuire at least implied there was still hope for Nikki to make it. So hopefully someday he'll reach his goal.
Yep. So third match that they're listing on the card is Gory versus Michael the Bomber Facade versus his former partner, Lewis Linden. Well, stablemate, I guess, would probably be the better term. And yet again, coming back to Resolution, the Zombie Princess, Jimmy Jacobs. It's a four-man dance with everyone having been involved with all of the other competitors in some way, actually. Gory and Facade fought over the TV title for much of the past, the previous season. As I already mentioned, Linden and Facade were stablemates. And I believe Jacobs has attacked all three of them.
I think that's right. Linden and Facade had a match at some point, I believe, and a pretty good one, if I recall correctly. And so they've, you know, Linden's been a little more aggressive, and they've had cross words from time to time. And kind of hard to pin down a match that's a little cluttered like this, but, you know, we've been in the past a little bit critical of Facade and Gory both. I think they've improved. I haven't seen as much of Gory this season, but I've heard some better things, and I think Sot has improved. So I can't say this is a match that I'm just dying to see relative to some of the others, but I think it has some potential, more so than it might have had a couple years ago. Jimmy Jacobs has been good when I've seen him there. So I, you know, it's hard to – without the TV, it's a little bit hard for me to comment too much on all the tangled web, as you mentioned, that this storyline has, because it's just not as fresh in my mind as I'd like it to be honest.
Yeah, no, I think reading the stuff has helped, and as always, typing anything out to me helps me remember stuff, so that certainly helps out.
Yes, I think you should be doing reports on the written reports. A little slack in there, Kevin, that you haven't been doing that on Stunt Granny.
Yeah, well, that would just seem silly to me. I mean, this should be a pretty decent wrestling match. I think you rightly pointed out that that Gory and Facade to me have cut back on their mistakes. I've always enjoyed the work of Lewis Linden more than anyone.
I agree with that.
Going back to TNA signed Flip Kendrick, and I don't know if he's been cut yet from their roster or not, but
they were a really good team. Yeah, sorry.
Huh?
I interrupted. I'm sorry, but they were a really good team. I kind of like Linden better, and I think that's where you were going with that. To Kendrick,
yeah.
I like both those guys a lot.
Yeah, no, I did really like them as a team. I do like Linden better, but it's still, it's weird to me that TNA isn't using Kendrick at all, whatever they renamed him to.
I mean, what do you expect?
That's true. But, I don't know who to say wins this match, honestly. Jacobs kind of seems like the choice just because he's the name, but he could really help put over one of these other guys. depending upon how things are rolling with Prime Wrestling. I mean, if they don't have a next season, I mean, I guess that makes a difference to me. Jacobs wins going away if there isn't a next season. Because what else, you know, those other guys don't need a bump.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I could see Linden, of course, they've been tag champions, but I could see him benefiting from. Has he ever held the TV title? I don't believe so, but I could be forgetting something. So that to me seems like it could be a possibility. You know, I'll tell you this. I hope they get this TV situation figured out one way or the other. Because I'm paying like an extra few bucks a month for this sports package. And honestly, the main reason I get it is for this Sports Time Ohio, and the rest of their shows aren't very good as far as I'm concerned. So, that's why we're keeping this review pretty short, is that there's been no TV, so there's not much to reflect upon other than what we hear. But I guess I'd be pulling for Linden. You know, maybe it would make some sense to move him along a little bit, and then he and Facade can either get back together and be friends or feud over the TV title. That to me seems to be the place to go.
I would certainly enjoy that. It's either that or Facade. Well, yeah, I think Jacobs to me is kind of the biggest choice. Gory is the least of my choices, really.
I think Jacobs is good. He's been around.
Is so tied up with the Dead Wrestling Society, he's been on TV less than anyone else this year. I guess that's why I'm thinking he's not going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, he was in the world title, the world title that they call it, the prime title picture for a while, and I think it's good he's challenging. I think I'd prefer to see Linden, but that's just my personal preference. Should be pretty good.
Yep. Now there is a best of three for who is going to be the commissioner, either Vic Trapagliante or Justin Labarre. And now one of their big catches for this year is bringing in Jimmy Corderas, former WWE referee, to be the referee of these three matches.
How many tickets do you think Mr. Corderas will sell?
Absolutely zero.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we were in agreement.
Yep, I mean, I guess it's a kind of a nice symbolic gesture to try and call things down the middle or whatever, to bring in someone from the outside and someone from, you know, the big company up north that happens to go all around the world. whatever. It's a nice symbolic gesture, and you almost have to think that something is going to go on with him getting bumped or knocked out come the third, the rubber match, which to me is inevitably going to happen.
Two out of three fall situations have a tendency to get a three fall, when actually, mathematically, they should only go to three falls half the time. But they don't. They always seem to go to three falls. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Even Steven matchups, I guess.
Yep. The first matchup of the three is Ricky Shane Page against Bobby Beverly.
I'm excited about that match.
Yeah, it's a good one. It could be underrated in some ways because it's the only match of the three that doesn't have a title belt on the line.
Oh, I think the Vic Justin match is one of the three, is it not?
No. That's not a match. Whoever wins the three matches.
I'm looking at it wrong. I got you. Okay, that makes much more sense. Lord. Okay, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, well, at least, but they have to have their picture on there, I guess. Sorry,
yeah.
I misunderstood that because I thought there were four matches that didn't make any sense. Yeah, you know, Beverly's one of the best they've got. You know, I've been impressed with Ricky Shane Page. I thought there was a lot of extra stuff in that match with Crimson, but there was also some good action in there as well. I'm not as familiar with him from other programs as you might be, but what I've seen, I like. He was excited about the match when we spoke to him, and I think these two guys can get it done and keep people's attention and have a highly entertaining match. That would be my expectation. You know, Beverly maybe could use the win. I don't know. He's been kind of up and down since the breakup of Sex Appeal. But I think this could be a match that could, again, as you said, fly under the radar, but maybe be as good as any on the card.
Yeah, you know, I guess I said that, and I'm like, do I really remember any of because I always seem to concentrate on the character part of Ricky Shane Page, which I still have a tendency to have a problem with, although he was great on the show. So that certainly might not help my opinion.
My big problem was I just think they've always had a good, consistent narrative in Prime Wrestling, and he attacked the announcer, Joe Dombrowski, unprovoked, knocked him out of TV for a week and all that stuff. And I know Vic's in charge, and I guess that's how it happens. But it's like, I don't like it. There's a reason nobody ever touched Gordon Solie. I'll just state that. And it's stupid when people touch Jim Ross when he was the voice of WWE. That's your liaison between the fans and your program, and I think that those should be respected. I grew up on St. Louis wrestling to some degree, where if that ever happened, someone would have lost their job immediately on TV and in real life. So that angle or whatever I didn't care for. But I thought some of Paige's interviews are good, and kind of the deranged method. You haven't been as complimentary of some of those as I thought they were when they were on TV. But, again, that Crimson match, you know, those guys both have a fair amount of athleticism and can do some things. And we know Bobby Beverly can answer the bell. So I think this may really turn out to be a strong match. I hope so.
Yeah, no, because that's it. I kind of, like I said, I kind of concentrate on the character too much when I think about him. And that was one thing I was just like, oh, you know what? And I start going through my head. I'm like, for as short a time period as he's been in there, he has had a decent chunk of matches.
Yeah.
And that match with Crimson was a pretty long one. Like, I feel like that was a, hey, we're clearing the deck here, and
yes,
we're gonna have a 15-minute match.
Yeah. And I wasn't expecting that, because you thought, well, there'd be this, you know, all the outside interference and stuff. And they had some of that. They also had time to wrestle. And, you know, Crimson's underrated. I mean, that guy, damn, he should be on TV somewhere. That interview he did that you referred to, is just fantastic. I mean, we're getting off subject, I guess. But, you know, that was a really strong match, I thought. And so...
Right.
We'll see, but I think I'm repeating myself. It could be real good.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And I think it was that match that I finally thought back to, and I said to myself, you know what, I think Paige is a pretty solid wrestler. So, yeah, you combine that with Beverly, who I've been high on for a while, and I'm glad he dropped it says the Bev on there, but he's kind of dropped the common man part of it, so... That's fine.
It's more than fine.
Yeah, Paige can wrestle. So, yeah, I think that one it won't go under the radar after it happens. But
I'm the most excited, and I'm a big Matt Cross fan, but out of the three matches, that's the one I'm most excited to see, if that tells you anything.
Speaking of Matt Cross, that perfectly leads us into the WWE cast off from NXT to the man who decided to leave the WWE voluntarily. Matthew Justice with his female friend right now, Marty Bell.
They have good chemistry.
Yeah, no, I like their pairing a bit more than, and I don't know why this popped to mind, but Velvet Sky and Chris Sabin. Like, I like that Justice and Marty are on the same page as far as we're both evil heels, and we're
yeah.
going to play this up.
Yeah, they play it up to the hilt, both of them do. And McGuire had a great line about their tattoo relationship, whatever, that I won't try to repeat. But they're definitely clear heels and not really kind of with a wink, wink. I mean, they're not supposed to be liked.
Yeah, no, and they do a solid job of it. I mean, that's a. I'm always disappointed. It seems like when Justice is around, he isn't around enough. And I wasn't completely surprised that he got at least a developmental deal.
He has the size they're looking for. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that he can still develop a better personality, but I think this is his best one so far. But he's kind of not well, and maybe it's just because he finally got back and finally started getting his feet underneath him, and then they had to shut down TV, which is what I'm just thinking about currently.
Right, and he, you know, when he came back as a big mystery partner, I don't know what I expected, but I thought, okay, well, whatever. But, you know, he's been good in his role. More of a Cross fan. We'll see how this is. I don't have as high of expectations. I'd rather see Cross working with maybe someone close to his size, but we'll see how it goes. I think it could be good, certainly. Justice isn't bad by any means. I just I'm taking a wait and see attitude on this one.
Yeah, no, it'd be kind of interesting. I haven't seen. Well, I kind of like Justice's work, but I wasn't like overly like awed by it when he did get
that's
signed,
me.
So
that's me. Yeah,
it would be kind of interesting to see if he really learned anything when he was in the WWE, because I know that Bobby Shields, after he went to Taz's school, you could completely tell the difference in how he wrestles. Since Justice really hasn't had too many matches since coming back, this one, to me, would be the biggest test as far as did he learn anything. So,
yeah, we'll see. Like I said.
Yeah. Yep, I completely agree. I think I predicted Paige for the first match. So, I guess that means this one goes to Matt Cross.
I'm going to take the opposite because I think Beverly could really use a win. I'll go Beverly Justice, but I do think that they'll split the two matches.
Yep, and that leads us to the third in the trilogy here. The handicap heroes, Gregory Iron and Zach Gallen, are taking on the Brotherhood of Mustachioed Brawlers, better known as BOM, of Jeremy Madrox and the megastar Marion Fontaine. There should be a lot of entertainment in this match.
Well, yeah, Fontaine's always good for that. Madrox has been a good partner to him. They seem to mesh well. Of course, they've won the tag titles from the Handicap Heroes under very questionable circumstances, and this is the big chance for revenge, so we'll see. Something tells me they may not get their revenge, but a lot of times at Resolution, we do get the happy ending, so, you know, this is going to be one of the bigger deals on the card.
Yeah, no, it'll be kind of interesting to see which way they go with this. The funny thing is I don't like the evil heel stuff, but just from a practical standpoint, Vic is better on TV than Justin LaBar is.
Amen to that.
Another bad commentary I may have made for LaBar. I just don't think he still seems all that comfortable and that Vic is just a better fit on TV.
No, he is, but, I mean, again, they've been so over the top with the heel stuff, I don't know what I want to see. And they're going to have LaBar on there getting pushed around if he's not in charge. I mean, that's just the way they've done it. I'll tell you why I'm not that thrilled with this match. Last year they turned Zach Gowan for no reason, and I still can't get as excited about about their team because it just seems a little odd. So,
gotcha. Yeah, no, and to me, I don't think any of them are terrible by any means in the ring, but out of these three matches, to me, the in-ring product is probably going to be the lowest out of the three.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, it'll be, I mean, it should be a solid match. I think everyone has good characters coming into it, so that'll help out. And having it be the third one, it'll make things more contentious for a match that maybe needs that a little bit more than the other two, since they have a little more mat quality to them.
Yep.
So,
all I got.
That leaves us with two more matches here. One is a special attraction match. Johnny Gargano, the whole shebang, is taking on the Intrepid Traveler. What the fuck? Oh, London. I've seen London a couple of times on Ring of Honor. And I don't know. It seems like there's something that has changed with his in-ring style that I'm just not as cool with him anymore.
Really? I have not seen him in the WWE, so I don't know.
Yeah, he's only been on a couple of matches, and I don't know. But, I mean, Gargano's an extremely good wrestler, and really, of all people for TNA to give a shot to, I'm not completely sure how Gargano hasn't gotten one.
It's amazing. I mean, that guy has come along in his interviews tremendously. He was always good in the ring, and but they just, you know, I don't know. And I think it might, you know, he'd probably get a better, more fair shot in TNA at his size. And you know, the guy won people over. Again, I've already mentioned what I think about Crimson. I'll say this, and I don't know much about Paul London in this day and age. Last year they brought in Petey Williams to wrestle Matt Cross, and that was a hell of a match. So these guys have a lot to live up to with the outside special attraction guy wrestling one of the best guys in the company. So hopefully he'll answer the bell and it'll exceed expectations. I like to watch Gargano. So I think it could be pretty good.
Yeah, no, it should be a good match. This one has the same problem as the last match. It doesn't have the same problem as the last match. This one just doesn't really have any heat to it, I guess, outside of the fact that it is the special attraction match.
But, you know, Gargano hasn't been there quite as much. I guess that's why they're keeping him out of the title picture. I don't know. And of course, he had his big run as a champion, so there's that too.
Yeah, well, and speaking of that, since, you know, I don't know if it really matters who wins this match. I would imagine that Gargano is going to, since it's Resolution.
Well, if he loses, he can't challenge for the title again, which is the Sting TNA stipulation. And I'd like to see him, you know, be in the, maybe not immediately, but at least have the possibility of him being in the picture, because Prime usually sticks to their stipulation. So I would suspect Gargano wins. I don't know why he wouldn't. I don't think Paul London's going to be there full time. And, you know, that's, he's certainly not a big enough star where he should be beating Gargano anyway in Prime.
Right.
So that's all I got on that one, too. I'm running up against it a little bit, Kevin.
Yeah, well, it's not helping that we're – it's actually kind of interesting. We have more stuff to say about the earlier matches. Well, just because they have a little more – well, some of them have a little more backstory. Anywho,
right.
Whatever. Well, another guy who he was there last year, the Man-Beast Rhino. He does have a little bit of a storyline reason to be taking on the embodiment of evil Crimson. And, yeah, no, seriously, the one reason I put that promo up today is that I've always told people to check out his promos, but I know that I've put it inside of, like, a 50-minute video that I post with the show.
Right.
And I was never sure. I'm like, well, if people go and see this, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to straight up post this. It's only a minute and a half. Like, to me, anyone that likes wrestling, if they don't like that, I'm not quite sure. Like, maybe they won't be as blown away, but if they don't think it's good, like, I would really scratch my head.
Right, and it's not the best promo he's ever done, because he's coming up with a storyline for a match that basically has no storyline, almost. Yet he still does it in a tremendous way. I mean, this guy is money. If he ever had a shot, you know, I don't know whether you put him up against Undertaker at some point. I mean, that may be, but if you built him up right, I'm telling you, the guy could put, he could make people want to see him. I mean, he looks scary, evil, whatever, man. I mean, he's old school. Love this guy's promos, and that's a very good promo. I would just say I've seen him do better when he was in the middle of a more prolonged storyline. I see no reason for Rhino to win this. I hope he doesn't. I like Crimson. I enjoy the thing that makes a little odd is that he was warring with Vic, and then they kind of haven't picked that up as much as they once did. Maybe we'll see something about that at this. Maybe Rhino joins up with Vic. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, the way Rhino and Jason Bayne went out last year, I'm excited about seeing the match. And I think it could be damn good, and that promo is damn good. And a lot of the stuff Crimson does is damn good.
Yeah, no, this should be a good blow-off to the whole thing. Rhino's still a pretty solid wrestler. Crimson, and they're doing it under Crimson rules or whatever they, no, it's just a no DQ. So that kind of, they didn't seem to overdo it with Rhino and Jason Bayne last year. And that was hilarious when Rhino actually used the ring to beat the hell out of Jason Bayne. So you know that he
knows. Oh, it was great. And I think
you
it was
that Rhino knows how to improv.
Yeah, it was ad lib completely. I mean, I've grown a lot of respect for Rhino watching him in Prime. I always liked him fine before. And, you know, both these guys have had, I would argue, maybe the two best matches I've seen Jason Bayne have was with those guys in the last two Resolutions. I mean, that'd be my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be a hard argument to dispute, really. So,
and I'm
yeah,
not trying
having
to
them get together is a good idea. And there is the very tenuous connection that Crimson attacked Rhino, I believe it was the beginning of this season.
Right, that is true.
So, but I mean, I still think that your overall point, though, like, if one action is all that you have to base a promo on, it's not great build.
No, but he does. I mean, like I said, he created a storyline for that, if you watch that promo. And,
yep.
You know, they've shown 1.5 minutes of video on their website over the last however many months for whatever reason. And at least if that's all they were going to show, they picked a good thing to show because it was, you know, I think that guy's great. I mean, even over Gargano, I think. I guess he's maybe a little older, but who cares? I mean, for that type of character, WWE would never let him just come in and be Crimson because they're too egomaniacal. That's not a word. Egomaniacal to do that. But TNA,
right.
I mean, they shouldn't have any qualms about it. And they already had a bad Crimson. Bring in the Crimson that can go. And, you know, I'd like to see them do it, but, you know, they probably won't.
Yep, nope. I highly doubt it since they already kind of stole his material, even though it wasn't really his material.
Right. Oh, yeah, they tried to. Yeah, that was, yeah. Pale imitation.
It was not as good.
No.
I agree with you. There is absolutely no reason that Rhino should win this match. You know, they can just leave the belt on Crimson and go from there. Unfortunately, yeah, for as much as I like him, he doesn't seem to be going anywhere. I mean, I think that's it for the preview. I mean, there is no reason to belabor the point that we haven't seen too much. But it's this Sunday, so that's why we're hoping to get this in here. And I don't know. You don't have any wrap up thoughts, or do you have any
No, other than I guess we'll both be getting the pay per view at some point, and maybe we can do a review at some point about it. But I don't know that I'll get to watch it on Sunday. I'll be coming back from Columbia, but I'll definitely get it at some point. I like the company. I like what they're trying to do, and I hope they get back on TV. But appreciate you including me, Kevin. I'll just let you wrap it up.
Okie doke. Well, yeah, as Dan noted, unfortunately I cannot attend. I have some stuff to get to here in town on Sunday, one of which is a Blue Jackets game, which happens to coincide with pretty much the start time of Resolution there at 3:00. So, you know, hockey here wins out. And Dan and I will definitely review it sometime, and hopefully they do get back on track. And now it's time to get the sippy time beer and five which I tomorrow, Dan. Yeah.